really wanted to mail it in today and do 4 hours, we could just read the injury report. That'd take about 3.5.
How long is this thing? My goodness, it goes on and on and on.
The did not practices are long and distinguished for each squad. So.
Is it really? Is it very long for the Chiefs? Is Tyreek Hill still on the injury report? Well, it is a distinguished list if you have very famous names on that list. Go. Like, if you got names that nobody's ever heard of before on the injury list, like they got some guy that they is number 53 on the practice squad. Is Kelvin Benjamin on there for gout? Do we know?
No,
he's not on there.
Full
participant in practice. But, like, the rest of this team, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Spencer Ware. I hear Spencer Ware's really, really banged up, but he is determined to go on Thursday night against the San Diego Chargers. Knows how very, very vital this game is, and so he wants to be out there for his teammates. But that dude is a hurting dude right now with the shoulder injury, and he's beat up in other places as well, which most guys are at the 12th day of December, Josh, after battling through 13 games already this year. I think at this point of the season, nobody's 100%, as they like to say. But
Kelvin Benjamin better be.
Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin better be 100%. Yeah, well, he may have gotten hurt up in Buffalo. You know, he wasn't like running in Buffalo or anything like that. So maybe he's a little sore from flying.
Very limited.
Limited. That's good. It's amazing how the Chiefs, as an organization, just toy with their fan base. I mean, it really is unbelievable to me. Like, they released that Eric Berry possibly could play. He's been possibly
there's
playing.
There's a chance. I think was
is that what it was?
Andy's quote.
There's a chance. Yeah. Well, fans
big
take
fans
that,
of possible probable.
Yeah. Right. Chiefs but fans take that as like, oh, he's playing, because I saw so many posts yesterday on social media, fans saying, Eric Berry's back on Thursday night. Where are you getting this from? Like, where did they say definitively Eric Berry was back? Now, if I'm the Chiefs as an organization, I'm not telling anybody when Eric Berry's coming back, because God forbid he goes out there and he's not ready in warm-ups or something like that, then you do get everybody's hopes up. But if I'm Andy Reid, I'm like, look, he'll play when he plays, man. Let's just stop asking questions about when Eric Berry is going to come back and be part of this team, because he'll play when he plays, and we need him for January. We need him for February. We don't need him right now for the month of December. We need him, you know, to play a game or two to get some kind of, you know, swag back, if you will, before the playoffs start. But we don't need Eric Berry to come back right now. We need Eric Berry to be healthy and ready to go once the playoffs get here. And I think that has to be the goal that everybody's kind of shooting for. And so I think if he comes out on Thursday night and he's introduced or whatever on Thursday night, the place will absolutely lose their mind and go bonkers, and it'll be awesome out there at Arrowhead. But I just feel like right now the Chiefs are just toying with a good portion of their fan base by saying there's a chance that Eric Berry comes out, because people have taken that and run with it and expect now Eric Berry to be playing on Thursday night. And I think there's going to be a lot of people with their hopes up going into that game Thursday night that Eric Berry's out there. And I don't know that Eric Berry is going to be out there. We've heard this all year long.
I don't know a person that we've had in this city, like athlete-wise, who has had higher peaks and valleys when it comes to some of the fan reaction. Because Eric Berry battling through leukemia, coming back from cancer.
Sure.
Right?
Not leukemia.
Like, or sorry, Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah. Sorry.
Leukemia's a big deal. Yeah, big deal.
So, you know, everyone was all on board Eric Berry, right? We were Berry strong. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, his will and his fight to get back on the field. And he's coming out here trying to do something he loves. And he's doing it for the team and the city and all this, right? And then I start seeing posts yesterday or over the last weekend. Oh, see, Tyreek Hill, he's out there gutting it out. Meanwhile, our overpaid cheerleader's been on the bench for 2 years.
Yeah, like, right, yeah.
What the hell happened here?
It turns quickly.
There was a good one where Tyreek was spelled wrong, too. T-Y-R-I-C. Tyreek Hill had him at that, too. So if you can't spell Tyreek Hill, why are we really looking at that opinion and holding it to any merit? Because I don't think an opinion like that really holds any merit. And if you're sitting there and criticizing Eric Berry for not playing and saying that Tyreek Hill is gutting it out, let's start comparing people and what Tyreek Hill did and who he is as a person versus what Eric Berry is and what he does as a person every single day in this community. So let's not start comparing Tyreek Hill to Eric Berry, because quite honestly, they're not in the same ballpark.
I mean,
They aren't even on the same planet when it comes to comparing people.
It's just baffling to me how anyone could doubt his will to want to get back on the field.
Do you think he wants to stand there on the sidelines and watch what's going on right now?
Not at all. And you know, the man was stricken with a life-threatening illness. And, you know, instead of putting all of that other things into perspective and saying, no, I'm just going to move away from football, I don't even need to worry about that anymore, he's still worried about football.
Right.
Like, he was still at the facility and talking to the players and with the team. Like, How can you doubt the man's will to want to be there?
Yeah, because you're a jerk, Ryan. I mean, that's basically what it comes down
because
to.
Because we really need you. And you aren't there for us.
Team is 11-2 right now.
So let's just Earl Stones.
Yeah, I mean, like if you're sitting back and I criticizing think all you need to know, Eric Berry, you're a jerk.
Well, all you need to know, too, is that he's been on the active roster all year.
Right.
So this wasn't what anybody expected.
No, I don't think anybody expected. I mean, you don't take up a roster spot for 14 weeks in an NFL season by having a guy there who you don't expect to come back.
Everybody thought he was going to play.
Right, everybody did. Soon, rather than later. And now it's become later rather than sooner. But I will never criticize Eric Berry for... I mean, Eric Berry is one of the great athletes in our community from top to bottom. When you start to factor in what he does off the field versus what he does on the field versus the impact that he had. And I mean, like Eric Berry is a game changer. He's a game changer when he plays. He's a game changer in the community. He is the perfect athlete that I think every city wants and every city dreams of their athletes being. Like he's the guy, Josh, that you thought about as a kid that you wanted to be an idol, right? Like if you're going to idolize guys and idolize athletes, who do you want your kids to idolize? Eric Berry's on the top of that list. I mean, and guys like Eric Berry, quite honestly, are few and far between. That guy gives more of himself and does more for others than he does for himself and his family. I mean, he's constantly out there. Last Tuesday night, we were at the toy drive that Eric Berry did, and he didn't do just one toy drive. I think he did 3 toy drives over the course of last week to get gifts for all of these kids that are at Children's Mercy Medical Center that can't have Christmas. And so their parents go and shop for their kids in the store and get all the toys and wrap the gifts, and Santa visits the hospital because these kids are battling cancer, life-threatening diseases, and people want to take a dump on Eric Berry? Those people can kiss my ass, because Eric Berry's a better human being than just about all of us with what he does and how he gives back. And you're right, Ryan. I saw some of that hate for Eric Berry the other day on social media, and what some people were saying about, you know, Tyreek Hill fighting through an injury and Eric Berry isn't. If your head is wrapped around Tyreek Hill's tougher than Eric Berry, you got issues yourself, man, because Eric Berry is a great human being. I wish I could say the same for others, but Eric Berry is a great human being who would do anything to get out there and play.
And I don't want to take anything away from what Tyreek did over this last weekend either. Like, he did show a lot of toughness and he really did gut through it. That I don't want to make that equivalency to Eric Berry and say, well, Tyreek Hill did this, so you should be doing this. Like, we don't know the extent of the injury.
You don't know the extent of the injury.
And, you know, I heard Show and Vern yesterday talking about it too, like the pain tolerance aspect of it. Like, I don't even think...
Were they criticizing Berry?
No, not at all. But, like, I'm kind of with Ron on this. Like, I don't think we can wrap our minds around what it's going to be like. Like, what is that pain level going to be? I mean, you guys remember, what was it, like 2-3 months ago, I had that sciatic nerve pain?
Oh, God,
I was
yes.
limping around this place like a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
This guy's playing professional football at the highest level. I can assume that if he's in pain, that it's going to be significant enough to keep him off the field. If cancer wasn't enough to keep him off the field, I get a general sense that the pain he's experiencing from this is probably pretty significant.
Well, and it's not just the pain tolerance. It's the, is this thing healed enough for me to go out there and trust it that I can be a legit playmaker for my organization? And that's the one thing that I've learned over the years with injuries to athletes. And I think a lot of it came to light with Eric Berry, and that's really when it stood out to me, is when he injured that ACL, and people were always telling us it's not the year that he comes back, it's the year following the year that he comes back, when he finally gets to the point where he can trust that knee and trust what he's doing out there. And that's just not unique to Eric Berry. That's standard across the board. I think athletes are so good at what they do, obviously. They're so used to being able to go out there and just dominating that when they get an injury like this, they not only have to heal that injury, they have to heal their mental side of things and realize that mentally they can go out there and they can test their knee or their heel or their arm or their leg or whatever the case may be. They have to believe in themselves that they can go out there and function at a high level with that injury. And I think that's something that Eric Berry also is dealing with right now. Can I go out there and be the player that I was with this injury? And if I can't go out there and I can't be 100%, I'm not going to go out there and put my team in jeopardy at being 80% and slipping up on a play and costing my team a game. So you have to look at that angle of it as well. It's very complicated with injuries and guys, especially in football. But it's very complicated just to sit there and throw stones and say he should be back there out on the field, because you don't know what's going on and you don't know how much work this guy has put in. And of all people to question, the questioning of Eric Berry is absolutely ludicrous.
And to that point, from the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, it's the Chiefs' fault for creating the environment, making fans question Berry's heart. Chiefs need to tell fans what the deal is with the injury and quit hiding it. I think that there is something to that. Yeah, we had that conversation, a couple months ago about the fact that I just wish the Chiefs would be a little more transparent with what's going on.
And I'm not going to knock Eric Berry. He could help the situation, too, if you really want. I mean, really wanted to.
But they don't let him speak, Josh.
Where are you at? Come on, just... if he said, I want to go talk, they wouldn't say no.
Right, because typically the injured players, you don't get to speak to them.
Right.
Correct.
But if he came out and he's like, hey, I just want to give everybody an update. I'm close, man.
Yeah, he's been back at practice for, 2 weeks
they
now?
They would let him do it. They would let him do that.
Well, I wouldn't even say I'm close, because then that gets people all right, out of tizzy as well.
I don't think he wants to be there, too. I'm sure he's dying to tell everybody he wants to be out there.
Like, don't you think he wants to be there with his teammates?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And hopefully he will. I want to see him run out of tunnel Thursday night.
I do, too. I think it'd be great.
I play one series, play three down. I don't care. Just, I just want him out there for a little bit of time.
Well, I want him introduced, because if he's introduced before the game, the way that the crowd, I think, will react, the way his teammates will react, the way the coaching staff will react,
I just want that
extra
little spark.
It'll take it to a new level. Yeah. And especially in a game like this that's going to decide the division championship on Thursday night, if you can do anything in your power to give yourself a little bit more of an advantage, especially of that mental advantage, then you go ahead and do that. And if it's introducing Eric Berry and he plays for a series out there, and that's all he plays, that's fine, because you're building off of that introduction, that excitement, that level of enthusiasm that everybody's going to feel on Thursday night if Eric Berry is introduced before the game.
Royals make it official with Billy Hamilton, now a very crowded outfield. Billy Hamilton coming on the one-year deal with the second-year option. Kind of what we've seen, we saw last year, I should say, with this team. Get a guy on a one-year with an option.
Yeah.
If you're in something, keep him around. If not, flip him and move on. That's the type of deal they signed with Billy Hamilton. 1 year, $4.25 million with a $1 million buyout. Also has some incentives built into that as well. And if you brought him back, it'd be $7.5 million in 2020. You're probably not bringing him back.
Right.
You're essentially playing a 1 year, $5.25, but it gives you some flexibility and the ability to flip him at the deadline if so be. So you got Gordon in left, mm-hmm. you got Hamilton in center, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of people looking at right field, I guess.
Yeah, you got Bonifacio, you got Phillips, you got Soler, you got Goodwin. I mean, you got a lot of people competing for that right field spot right now, and that's good, man. You want competition, especially with some of those younger guys. You want to have them play better and earn that spot out there for the Royals. But I like this Billy Hamilton move. He's a guy that can cover some ground in center field. And, you know, listening to Dayton speak at the winter meetings the other day, he mentioned the fact of, you know, we need better defense out there in center field. We took a drop off when Lorenzo Cain left, and obviously they did. And when you got a young pitching staff, which the Royals expect to have this year, they're going to give up some hits. You want some guys out there to make sure to go get it and to play good defense behind them, to pick them up a little bit, to give them a little bit of confidence, you know, out there on the mound. And so I don't have a problem at all with this move. And the one-year deal is obviously for reasons of flipping later on. It's easier to flip a guy that a team does not have to be committed to past this season than it is to flip a guy that has multi-years left on his contract. Just look at the Ian Kennedy situation. The Royals have not been able to flip him because every year it seems like he has 2 years left on that contract, right? I mean, every year it's like he's still got 2 years to go. I think he still has 2 years to go on that contract. This year and next year, it's like there's like this rollover in Ian Kennedy's contract that – The Royals can't seemingly get out of. And so they signed the guy to a one-year deal, obviously with an option very reminiscent of what they did with Mike Moustakas. He can come in here. He can help these guys. And he's a hell of a base stealer. Since the day he took his first step onto the field at the major league level, he's led the league. He's led the league in stolen bases, and that's pretty good. And that's what the Royals need to get back to. They're not going to be home run hitters. They're not going to be mashers. They're not going to, you know, knock the ball out of Kauffman Stadium. So they've got to find a way to create runs, and Billy Hamilton helps them do that. And if he can help them get off to a fast start, develop a little confidence, and get these guys moving in the right direction, then that's what it's all about. And if he plays well enough and the Royals are out of it, then you flip him and you get some prospects back in return. So it's a win-win situation for everyone in this deal.
Who do you want right?
I think right now I want Brett Phillips out of all of those guys. Who do you want?
I still like Bonifacio, but I believe they don't like his defense, it seems like,
yeah,
as much.
He's kind of a butcher compared to what we've seen, you know, defensively.
And then you got to keep the DH spot, I guess, for Soler.
But here we are again, though, Josh, still looking for that right fielder. I mean, that was the one position, even when the Royals won the championship and won the American League in 14, you had Aoki out there, then you had Alex Rios out there in right field. They have never really been able to find that guy since Jermaine Dye to be kind of that steady guy out in right field. I'd like to see I think Phillips ultimately is going to be a big part of this organization moving forward. I hope he is anyway. So I'd like to see him win that job because I think of all of those guys, he's got the best speed and arm combination, and you're looking for defense.
Can't hit, though.
No, he can't, but you're looking for defense, and this is a team that needs some defense right now, and I think Brett Phillips provides that out of all four of those.
Ryan Goodwin's still on the active roster, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You like him? You want him to win it?
I mean, I think he's a guy that's out of options as well. So, like, he's kind of pigeonholed into either making the roster or being cut.
Well, Phillips has an option left, I believe, and I think so does – does Bonifacio have an option left too? I don't know.
I would believe so.
So, there is some wiggle room there. Like, Phillips does not have to make the opening day roster because he can be sent down. But I think I'd like to see him get big league at-bats. I think that's what's going to do him best.
Fesco says they are renting space and with a stat now to back it up. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
You said it yesterday, Fesco. You believe that the Chiefs are in Philip Rivers' head. And that's a big part of the reason they're, you know, 9 straight victories against the Chargers. They have Philip Rivers' number. And there's a stat to back that up. That's from a story on ESPN.com. Chargers have committed a total of 25 turnovers since the start of the 2017 season. Lowest total of any team in the NFL over that time.
That's pretty cool, right?
They're number 2 in the NFL this year, just 10 giveaways. Mm-hmm. They're 2nd in the NFL in that category. Chiefs pretty good at it too.
Yeah.
They're top 10. They've given away 5 more times than the Chargers have. But 25 turnovers over the last 2 seasons, lowest in the NFL. Of those 25, 9 have come in their 3 games against the Chiefs.
That's a big number right there, man. That's a big, big, fat number right there. 9 of their last 25 turnovers. What is that, 36% if the math does me right? Mm-hmm. Right? 36%
they
of their turnovers.
They so
did
it for us,
I know, yes.
We haven't double-checked, but yeah.
Stats are for losers.
Exactly. But that's a big stat. Like there are certain stats that you look at that just make sense, that just tell the story. And I've always thought turnovers were one of those stats that tell the story. I mean, we heard for years with Dick Vermeil of the chart that he had. If you're plus 1, you have this percentage chance to win the game versus if you're minus 1, what percent chance you have to win the game. I don't think anything really determines the outcome of a game more than turnovers. Now, you're going to have your outlier of a game where you end up minus 3 and you still find a way to win because the team you're playing sucks. But more often than not, when you force the opposition to turn the football over, you're creating yourself extra possessions. And when you have an offense like the Chiefs, or even an offense like the Chargers for that matter, Josh, you don't want to give the opposition extra possessions on offense because they can score from just about anywhere on the field. We've got the top 2 offenses in the AFC showing up to Thursday Night Football here at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night. And when you look at both of them, both of those offenses can pretty much score from anywhere on the field. And so if you turn the football over, not only are you taking a possession and a scoring chance away from yourself, you're giving the opposition an extra opportunity to go out there and score. And with these 2 offenses, more often than not, they're putting up points, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. They're finding some way to put points on the board. So essentially a turnover by your team is leading to points now in this game on Thursday night.
They go on to say Kansas City's 4th in the league in takeaways over that same 2-year span with 49, so it's a part of it. But when 36% of your turnovers in a nearly 2-year span are against one team, you have to figure they're in your head at least a little bit.
Right, and I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks now, for the last couple of years, the Chiefs have been renting that space up in Philip Rivers Dome. In fact, it is so long of a rental agreement right now, it's under rent control. Like, nobody else can get in there, and the Chiefs are grandfathered in at a very low rate.
Is it longer than their, like, StubHub rental agreement?
It is.
StubHub Center?
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely. They will still be in Philip Rivers' head when they move to Walmart Stadium or whatever that place is going to be called.
So they're like subletting it right now.
No. They're subletted is when you rent it to somebody else.
I know, but like they're currently using somebody else's stadium, right?
Oh, you mean the Chargers are always going to be using somebody else's stadium. They're always going to be subleasers
in their stadium. So they're like renting a house and then letting somebody lease out the basement.
Yeah, they're basically doing like an Airbnb type of deal or, one of those type of deals.
So we have Airbnb space in the Chargers' head.
Well, no, not the Chargers, Philip Rivers. Mm. And I relayed the story a couple of times this week, but I think it's good to bring back that there are guys inside that Chiefs locker room that they have said they're not talking about beating the Chargers necessarily this week. They're talking about how to beat Philip Rivers because that's what it comes down to. And the Chiefs know. They look across that sideline. They see Philip Rivers over there. They know we own you. I mean, there's something to be said for going into a game where you've beaten a team 9 straight and 9 of the last 11, you've absolutely owned them. You found a way to make Philip Rivers basically a bad football player against you when he's a really good football player against everybody else.
Heck of a season, yeah.
He's having an amazing year, and if Patrick Mahomes wasn't doing Patrick Mahomes type things, I think the whole league right now, Josh, would be talking about Philip Rivers and what he's doing. I mean, you got a 10-3 Chargers team right now with a quarterback that's having an all-pro type of season, and nobody's talking about him because of what our guy is doing, Patrick Mahomes, here in Kansas City. I mean, you look at the numbers that the Chargers are putting up on offense. I mean, they are absolutely unbelievably amazing. And Philip Rivers is having himself an unbelievable, amazing season. And I think right now, had it not been for Mahomes, we could be talking about Philip Rivers being the MVP of the National Football League. 3,600 yards passing right now for Philip Rivers. I mean, he has been dominating the competition, but he's only had 6 passes intercepted all season long. And so when you have those kind of numbers in a game, people look at that and go, man, that's the best quarterback out there. But not when you play the Kansas City Chiefs. And for the last 9 games, the Chiefs have absolutely owned Rivers. They have controlled Philip Rivers. And they just look at Philip Rivers and he poops his pants. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He just absolutely melts under the pressure of facing the Kansas City Chiefs, and he does not have a way to beat them.
Got to keep the heat on him, too. Again, 25 turnovers last year is 9 against the Chiefs.
It's really impressive that somebody who has, 17 children gets so frazzled under pressure.
Yeah, 9. He's going to have his 9th this year. Jeez. I mean, yeah, he does. I mean, like, for whatever reason it is, man, and he walks into Arrowhead Stadium or he walks into a game with the Chiefs, and he's beaten.
But
he's
Ryan,
beaten.
He also drives like an hour and a half.
No, no, he has somebody drive him in the back of his.
He's not home.
Yeah, he doesn't see
those kids. Special equipped van there.
He doesn't have to deal with those kids. He goes home every time I try to be in bed.
Every time I try to be hyperbolic about the number of kids Philip Rivers has, you remind me. I'm like, God, that was actually kind of close.
Yeah,
this what 9?
He has 9th. It's on its way. His 9th child
is on his
way.
Farm or something? What's happening?
Well, he's got a big mansion. He needs them to do the chores, to churn the butter, and to weave the sweaters.
One kid jogging in the basement to keep the electricity on.
Jesus, pull out, man.
So the Chiefs have definitely owned the Chargers 9 straight wins, and again have forced them into more turnovers. Against them than anybody else on a team that doesn't turn the football over. So hopefully that trend continues. They'll have a good shot to win coming up on Thursday. So we have some free money to play with around the NFL. And we shouted out 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Anything you want to chat about next.
Fesco in the morning.
.69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. So get those texts in, 69306. Hope to see you tonight, Kansas Hall in Overland Park. It's Ultimate Christmas 2018 to benefit Noah's Bandage Project presented by Twin Peaks. Free event tonight, 21+. We're encouraging everyone to come out. All of our 610 Sports Radio listeners invited, and the entry is free. Each person will receive 1 entry ticket for prizes and be able to receive more entries by donating to Noah's Bandage Project. Noah's Bandage Project giving away over $5,000 in prizes, including an arcade classic machine provided by Amini's, a complimentary pizza buffet from 6 until 8, and you can do a little karaoke, but not just any karaoke. The Mikey Needleman Band will be there, and you are the lead singer. So live band karaoke tonight. You get to pick your song and sing with a real band playing behind you. And it's always a fun event.
That's
but
awesome.
Coming out for the Ultimate Christmas 2018 tonight, it is free. Hope to see you tonight, 6 o'clock, Kansas Hall in Overland Park. All the details, 610sports.com.
I had something funny to add, but I can't remember the what I wanted to say, and the joke would have fallen flat. So I'll tell you guys a little bit later. So next time when Josh does that read, we can have it ready to go, and you can help me with the punchline that I'm trying to think of because I can't connect.
What are you talking about, Bob? Everything's organic on this show.
You have the setup, but not the punchline?
I do. I have a great setup. It may be just for us, but I've got a very good setup for karaoke. And I think Ryan will die and walk out of the room. I think Josh may push away, and I'll be left standing here by myself holding the bucket of water. But next time you do that read, remind me. Remind me the name of the song.
Remind you of your take again.
Yes, exactly. Okay, please do.
Good. good.
We're going to have some free money to play with. The NFL announcing yesterday that the salary cap's going to go up again.
Of course it is.
And at about 40% increase since the 2014 season.
Right.
So it continues to go up.
That's only 4 years, Josh. Or I guess it will be the fifth year in 2019. It's gone up 40% in 5 years,
yeah,
right?
That's pretty big, right?
Would you like a 40% raise over the last 5 years? Right? Yes. Who the hell wouldn't want that?
And it's not like that they're just going to add players.
Right.
No. We're going to add staff. No, it's the same amount.
Yeah.
Same amount of staff. They're just going to get more money. So the 2018 cap is $177.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's expected to grow in the range of $187 to $191.1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So up over $10 million for next season.
For next season.
There
that's,
you go. That's
a big jump in the salary cap. And the salary cap basically is determined by the amount of TV dollars that are brought in from a national level. Essentially, that's what it is. You bring in the TV dollars, whether it's over-the-air TV, whether it's the streaming services, whether it's on your phone. You bring in all of that national TV money, boom, divide by 32, disperse. And that essentially, for argument's sake, is what your salary cap is based on. And, you know, for all of the folks who say, oh, the ratings are down and people aren't watching, well, that's just not the case. That's a bold-faced lie because since 2014 to where we are now, it's jumped by 40%, and it even jumped the last couple of years when ratings are down. But people are into the NFL. They're spending the money. They're spending the money on the streaming. They're spending the money on the over-the-air product. And the more that the networks and the streaming services spend on the National Football League is more money that they can disperse back to the players. So even all of this stuff over the last 2 years that the NFL is a failing business, that is not the case at all because here's the salary cap going up, 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 up over the last 5 years.
Sixth straight year, the cap's going to jump more than $10 million per year.
And that's an impressive number.
Yeah.
That is a big-time number, man.
There
so the
go.
Players, man, you're going to have some more money to play with, and that's fantastic.
Pay D. Ford or Chris Jones or whoever else.
Yeah, that's a player right there, Josh.
You got 10 more million to work with.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You don't have to stress so much because now you got an extra $10 million to work with, and if you want to pay D. Ford that $10 million next year, now you've got that extra $10 million to spend.
Finally pay off all that layaway.
I know. It's exactly right, man. That is pretty cool. Let's shout it out.
PS4 is mine.
69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, all brought to you by Lady James. What do we got going on today, Ryan?
I haven't done a good layaway in a while.
Do they still do? I guess they do.
Absolutely.
Walmart still provides layaway.
Absolutely.
The Widow Benson of the New Orleans Saints went into a local Walmart down there and paid off everybody's layaway, like $100,000 worth of stuff.
I don't even know what this means, but the 913 asks, what's the best style of fart?
Just a big brump.
I like the silent but deadly ones. When you can creep in, crop dust, and dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best.
Josh?
Dry.
Avocado toast.
I love avocado, man.
I've never avocado toast.
What, that's like just making a toast and smearing it with avocado? That's good. You like toast, you like avocado, combine the two, and it's wonderful.
707 wants to talk about the stick of gum that used to come in the back of Topps baseball cards.
Do we not get gum with our cards anymore?
I don't think so.
Didn't you used to hate to get like a good card and it had the gum stain on it?
It always had that like heavy white powder.
That's what I'm saying,
Keep the card protected.
Yeah. Sure, somebody got allergic to that gum and we can't have it anymore.
That's probably what it is. We used to take that gum and throw it down on the ground and shatter it, and it would like shatter into a thousand
like glass,
different pieces.
Yeah.
But you ever chew that gum?
Yeah.
It was terrible gum.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It was
like it didn't even have flavor when you put it in your mouth.
913 wants to know what your favorite holiday song is.
The card tasted better.
Yeah, the card did. The favorite Christmas song?
Holiday song.
Well, I'm going to go Christmas song.
No, holiday is what they
We're allowed to say Christmas again. I'm going to say my favorite Christmas song is Christmas in Kansas City.
Holiday song.
I think you need to go back to last week on Wednesday, 9:30. Check out the podcast, 610sports.com.
That's Josh's true. Translation is, I can't remember what I said, and I don't want to contradict myself.
No, I know what Josh said.
Yeah, because Ryan got it wrong.
Went with Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is a terrible song, by the way. Terrible Christmas song.
It's pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Just left the gym, now to counteract it in the drive-thru line.
I've done that a lot.
Have you really?
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Go burn 500 calories.
There's a Mickey D's right next door to the gym.
I know how long it takes
me to... So I go work out, and they're like, oh, man, you know, it sounds good. Dollar menu.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done that many, many times.
I know what it takes to burn a certain amount of calories and, like, what you eat. Like, you, as Protein House has a sign on their wall that says you can't outrun your fork. And it's true. My daughter yesterday wanted some, like, yogurt-covered raisins. So I got them for her, and she's reading the nutritional information. I said, what's a serving? She goes, 8 raisins is 120 calories. I said, oh, my God.
8 raisins.
8 raisins. Yeah, I said, do you know how long it takes to burn 120 calories? And she goes, no. I said, that takes me about a mile to run to burn 120 calories. And so if you eat 8 yogurt-covered raisins, you have to run a mile just to burn those off. And she's like, whoa.
That doesn't sound right. 816, the hottest place on the web is yourmom.com. I checked out that site, by the way. It's not a real website.
Not a real website. Man.
Very upset.
Yeah, kind of surprised it's not.
Yeah.
That's right. Also out of the 913, Secret Santa at our office this week.
That's cool.
Why don't we do a Secret Santa here?
We're not that organized.
Yeah, come on.
We don't even get cakes for birthdays or anything.
We're not that organized.
Is it because we're men and we don't care?
We're a bunch of Neanderthal men walking around talking about sports. We don't care about that kind of stuff.
I'd like a cookie cake.
Oh, when is your birthday?
February 18th.
Okay, I'll bring it in that day.
I will be off that day.
Oh.
As I do every year. Does Christmas shopping for a daughter get any easier? I wouldn't know.
Does it get any easier? Well,
at some point in time, it doesn't take long. They start deciding for themselves what they want, and you're off the hook.
Yeah.
Get them what they want.
816, my old lady kicked me out again. Likely because you're referring to her as your old lady.
Yeah, that would be part of it.
Shout out to you, thank God. Okay. Well, here we are.
Yep.
Eggnog.
Well, every day we get this. I'm done answering the eggnog question.
I don't recall ever having the eggnog question.
Yeah, we've had it numerous times.
People. I love to nog.
Yeah, I don't nog.
No. I bought eggnog Swiss cake rolls at the store the other day. They were a little much.
I was going to say, come on now. It was Swiss cake rolls by themselves are fine. Then you had the eggnog flavoring to
them. It was a bit much. Newspaper comics as gift wrapping paper.
Great. Well, it's funny because we're running these one thing ads on our app and our streaming, and one of the things is use the funny section to wrap your paper to save on the environment.
Yeah, this isn't 1983.
Did we still call them the funnies?
The funnies, yeah. My question was, who still subscribes to the newspaper?
I was going to say,
I mean, if you are, that's like,
it was great to wrap.
You read it online and not get your hands dirty.
Yeah, I don't know who that would apply to necessarily.
816 says vinyl is the only way to listen to music.
You know what, my friend?
That's not factually accurate.
No, but my friend thought that a couple of years ago. He's like, I'm buying vinyl now. I'm like, really? You're going into the vinyl stage of your life now? Here in 2013 or whatever it was, like you're buying a record player.
2013.
And you're getting vinyl now.
Too much work.
Everything is available.
You just don't want to get up, do you? Turn the record over.
No, I mean, everything's available on your phone. Why would you invest in vinyl? And
do you want the real answer, or you just want...
No, the real answer is because you're trying to impress somebody.
That's not necessarily true. I can attest to this. I own a record player and a lot of vinyl. It sounds better. It really does. Because when you compress music into an MP3 file, you cut off the highs and lows.
Yep. Doesn't sound good, I know.
And so it doesn't sound as good. You get the full, rich sound, the highs and lows of the music.
Close enough.
I guess. I don't care that much.
Why? How do we do this every day where you piss me off right at the end? Sorry, Billy.
I mean, I really don't care about the sound of vinyl versus the sound of an MP3. I like my Bluetooth speaker and convenience, I guess.
Final one, Frosty versus Santa.
I'll take Frosty.
Like in a death match or just in general?
I like Frosty. He's got a corncob pipe. Found out a friend of mine smokes a pipe in his garage like an old man. Do you pipe smoke?
Like a hash pipe?
No, like he's got like a
corn cob pipe and a stovetop hat.
Yeah, like he bought a...
He's smoking a bong in the garage.
No, he's not. He's not. He bought pipe tobacco, many different flavors. He also bought a a stein that's made out of, what do you call the pan that you have to season the cook in?
Oh, cast iron.
He bought a cast iron stein at the Renaissance Fair for $85. He seasoned it with Guinness and keeps it in the freezer and can only drink Guinness out of it. And then he smokes a pipe that he purchased at the Renaissance Fair with pipe tobacco.
Sounds like a good time in the garage.
He's real particular about his ingestion of beer.
Yeah, I guess. But do you know anybody that smokes a true pipe, like walks around and goes, "Hey, everybody, I got myself some tobacco."
I mean, I know a lot of people that smoke pipes.
Really? But... Not. I'm talking tobacco pipe.
Oh!
Like tobacco pipe. Like an old school, old man, grandpa tobacco pipe.
Yeah, actually one. But it's just a hobby in his spare time.
That's what this guy says.
Yeah, I guess it is too, yeah. He's got a lot of
This is a great question, by the way. What other types of nog are there?
Nog a hide?
That's not the same type of nog, though.
Oh,
is
nog.
It?
I don't know. There's eggnog, yeah.
Can we nog other things?
Yeah, we can.
We got to the bottom of that scampi fiasco.
Yeah, everything we settled a long time ago.
You know, I've got a dry scampi mix. I put some of the dry scampi mix yesterday in a little cauliflower rice, give it a little butter flavoring.
Well, like, what else is in the same realm as egg that you could nog?
What does nogging even
butter,
mean?
Butter, maybe?
Though?
I don't know.
Butter nogs? That sounds terrible.
I don't know. Yeah, butter nog sounds like way too much. I don't know. Good question. Sort it out. 69306. You know the answer. What else can you nog? We'll take it on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. That is Shout It Out, brought to you by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. Our key play coming up and another edition of Man, It's Good to Have Our Quarterback next.
In the morning.
Time for the key play brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Check them out in the Crossroads. Open for breakfast, open for lunch. They can cater breakfast or lunch as well for your home or office. Check them out, Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Our key play comes from college hoops last night. A little upset in Philly.
Schroeder defending the inbound. 1.3.
I think you fell.
Let's
you
see
fell.
What they do. They get into the corner. Booth for three. No good. It's over. The Quakers have snapped Villanova's 25-game Big Five winning streak with a 78-75 win over the Villanova Wildcats.
Didn't foul up three, apparently, right?
No,
is that they're looking for?
That's what they were looking for. Foul up three.
The pen. Quakers Sports Network. Penn knocks off Villanova.
Yeah, congratulations on a fall basketball win.
Villanova coming to Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday.
Oh, you gotta hate.
For the big Final Four rematch.
That's right.
They're going to come in off a loss.
That's right. You don't want to face Villanova off a loss, Josh.
And as they mentioned, Villanova had won 25 straight against the Big Five.
Right.
In Philly in those grudge matches. But they lost yesterday at the hands of Penn, 78-75.
Yeah, it's a big win for the Penn Quakers, my sister's alma mater. So congratulations to Penn for taking care of business that Kansas couldn't do back in March.
Love your oatmeal.
That's a, I don't know, if you, something
a
you'd
rivalry
like,
game?
Something you'd like to do, but probably really you won't. It's not really a bucket list, but I'd like to go see one of, you know, the Big Five.
You'd like to see a game at the Palestra?
Yeah.
Well, that was Max Falkenstein's bucket list, and Roy, I think it was, scheduled a game for him to go see a game at the Palestra against Penn, like
this
towards the tail
like a place
end
you want to be.
Of Roy's career. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I've never been to a game there, but it's supposed to be a great arena.
See the
inner
city ones they'll play, not have Kansas go there or something or whatever.
Sure.
To play a game there, I would like to go see one of the. One of these types.
One of these type of games. I got you.
Penn Villanova.
Like you'd like to see Drexel Penn or something like that take place there. Hey, yeah. Good. I'm sure you can get a ticket.
But I probably won't. You know,
plenty of good seats available.
That's one of those. Yeah, that sounds cool, but I'll never do it. Yeah,
why? So. Why wouldn't you ever do that though?
When am I going to be in the neighborhood?
I don't know. Yeah. Make a trip if it's a bucket list item. Don't you plan a whole weekend around that? Target a game. Get the Palestra schedule up. I'm sure there's a Penn.
We go see the Liberty Bell too, or something.
Who else is in the Big Five? I've never even understood what that. You got
Rocky
Villanova.
Statue.
You got Villanova.
Run up those stairs, it'd be nice.
The stairs aren't even that big a deal. It's like 120 steps. Like, that's the most overrated thing ever.
I would still
do it.
Yeah,
but he just ran through the whole city.
I know, after running through the whole city and running up this. But everybody, like when we were there in the summertime, I parked in front of the thing, let my kids out. They ran up the stairs. They came back in. They're like, okay, that was great. And the Rocky,
were they winded?
No. And the Rocky statue isn't even on top of the steps anymore. They've moved it to the bottom of the steps. So you don't even have to run up the steps to see the Rocky statue
anymore.
You've got
to be handicap accessible, Bob.
Yeah, I would still do
it.
Ryan. Very good.
Would you still do it? I mean, everybody does it.
Oh, yeah, you
got to
do it. Sure, absolutely. Yes, absolutely you do it. 100% do it. Everybody's done it. If you go to Philadelphia and you don't do it, then you didn't go to Philadelphia.
That's true. It's like going to Chicago and not getting a picture in front of the bean.
That's exactly right. Or coming to Kansas City and not having barbecue. Well, I went to Kansas City for a week. Oh, did you have some barbecue? No, I didn't really understand we were supposed to do that. So, yeah, it's like one of those things that you got to do. But you should go to Philly. There's so much to do. Philadelphia is a great city and a great eating city. You don't just have to have cheesesteaks there. In fact, I've got 30 Philadelphia pretzels on the way. I ordered the other day.
It feels like a drunken Amazon order.
It was not. It was in the middle of the afternoon last week. I'm like, this sounds good. 30 pretzels? Yes, sir. Actually, here's how it came about. They say advertising, right? Advertising works, and I'll tell you why. I got an email from AAA saying, plan your Philadelphia escape. And so I clicked on it, and then I kind of got off onto a tangent of, websites down a rabbit hole, and I ended up on some Pretzels Direct website, 30 pretzels for $19 or whatever it was, another 10% off. Great, I'm in. Oh, and then I have to double that for the shipping because it weighs. I don't know how much it weighs that they're shipping 30 pretzels, so they're supposed to be here the next day or so. Very excited about that. The hell did we just talk about?
You can also nog milk, by the way.
Oh, good. Since, bringing it back in.
Since we're just completely off track.
Who else is in the Big Five? So Villanova, Penn, Drexel?
Temple? Not Drexel. I've already missed it. It's already done. That was the last game.
Last game of the year at the Palestra?
Saying, before they get into conference play and stuff. Oh. They played LaSalle, Temple, St. Joe, Penn in four in a row.
Well,
there you go.
Who's the fifth one? LaSalle, St. Joe, Temple, Penn, and then Villanova?
Yeah.
Drexel's not in the Big Five? Mm-hmm. They're in the middle of the city. How are they not? They're like right next to Penn. I wonder why they're not in the Big Five. So St. Joe, so you can go watch Peter Boyle coach against.
Well, then the owl that flaps the entire game.
That job would suck, right? Like, that's like sign guy on the corner. Save 80% store closing guy, right? Or the cash for gold guy.
Yeah.
The owl guy at St. Joe waving his arms like that. Oh, my God.
Penn, LaSalle, St. Joe, Temple, Villanova.
All right. So do they play each other like every year, like all five? In their non-conference play each other.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Those are their last four games.
Okay. So you want to go to something like that?
Yeah.
Take a weekend.
I'd probably go St. Joe because I do like to see the owl.
The owl.
Guy flapping the entire. You witnessed this one, Ryan? Their mascot, the owl.
Just flapping?
He does this the whole game.
I just want to be the bell ringer at Texas Tech.
Looks like a great workout.
Oh, God.
He flaps the entire game. Shoulders are tired just for doing it like five times just to demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
He's got huge shoulders.
It's good to have our quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think we need to remember that because how the other half lives.
Oh, you mean how we were living up until this year?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much because already the Vikings and their fans and looks like other players are already at their wits' end with their $84 million quarterback.
Well, that's the problem when you spend in free agency on players in the NFL. And Josh, I've said it for years. I hate free agency in the NFL because you're overspending for underrated talent or underperforming talent. I mean, look at the Chiefs right now. The only legitimate true free agent that performs well on their team is Mitchell Schwartz. You should use free agency in the NFL to plug a hole. You should never use free agency in the NFL to build your team. And when you sign a quarterback like the Vikings did to that $84 million of guaranteed money, I mean, you've got to make sure that you hit it right on the head. I mean, what should have told you that this was going to be a bad investment was the Washington Redskins didn't even want Kirk Cousins anymore. It was like they were done with Kirk Cousins. And so the Vikings go out and spend $84 million, and fans get all caught up in this free agency and how great free agency is. We need to sign free agents. No, you don't. If you become a free agent in the NFL, that's basically word to all the other teams that your team doesn't want you anymore. And in the NFL, where you're trying to acquire as much talent as you possibly can to beat the competition, to allow somebody to get away usually means that they're not that good. Now, there's obviously exceptions to every rule, and Mitchell Schwartz is clearly that exception. He wanted the hell out of Cleveland. I don't blame him for that. And so he decided to move and go away, and it didn't matter what Cleveland offered him. He probably wasn't going to stay there anyway. But when you have a quarterback in free agency, that's a mistake. That's destined to fail. You want to get your quarterback through the draft. That's where all the successful teams get their quarterback, from Tom Brady to Ben Roethlisberger to Eli Manning to Peyton Manning to Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. When you are a successful organization and operation and you're a top team in the league, you get your quarterback through the draft. You go back to the Rams. You go back to the Eagles. You look at the, you know, the Saints are a different one because they drafted Rivers and you know, was he a free agent, Breeze, to New Orleans, or did they trade him to the New Orleans Saints?
That was, well, shoulder, had the shoulder thing. I don't remember if they ended up dealing a pick for that one. I should know this, but I don't.
Anyway, there are exceptions to all the rules.
But more often than not,
teams that are successful draft their quarterback. They don't sign the guy in
free agency.
I would agree,
and it's easier to say, too, when you're sitting here going, man, we finally got our guy in the draft, huh? See what we did. I understand what the Vikings were trying to do. They were trying to upgrade from Case Keenum.
But you didn't. You went to Kirk Cousins.
Well, plenty of people thought Kirk Cousins was pretty good, but $84 million seemed like a lot even when they signed him. But I understand what they were trying to do. We're close to winning now. We were on the cusp, and it looked like you needed a quarterback to get over the hump. I understand what you were trying to do.
But you went to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum as your quarterback.
But you felt like that was kind of the everything broke season. Like, a defense played well, quarterback played just well enough. And then he stunk in the game that mattered.
Yeah, he did. But now you've got a quarterback who stinks all year long, and you're not going to get to the playoffs.
I understand the try there. They couldn't go drafted quarterback. They were close. They were so close.
But why not keep the guy who got
you
there?
Go drafted quarterback, because they need to upgrade from him. He's a lesser Alex Smith.
I guess, maybe. I don't know. But I don't think Kirk Cousins is that good. I mean, he was a perennial 8-8, 7-9 type of quarterback. And the Washington Redskins were allowing him to get away. If the Washington Redskins are allowing you to get away, you must not be that good, because they're desperate for a winner there in D.C.
By the way, Drew Brees was a free agent signing by the New Orleans
Saints.
Apparently, he was offered 5-year, $50 million by the Chargers, said, I want more. I want franchise quarterback money, top five. They said no, and then he left.
And he left, and he went on. So I think both teams are fine because of that. I mean, New Orleans worked out well. Obviously, they won a Super Bowl. San Diego found their guy in Rivers, and they've been really good with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. But another drafted quarterback in the NFL. When you're going to succeed and you're going to make runs and you're going to become a dynasty in the NFL, you have to do it with a drafted quarterback. You can't go out there and get – I don't even want to use the term a retread. You can't go out there and sign a guy for big bucks in the free agent market. Number one, they're never that good, and if you're a good quarterback, you're not getting away from the team you're on. And number two, an $84 million guaranteed contract hampers everything else that you can do, and it's more important to surround your team with so many great players than to spend $84 million on a subpar quarterback like they did with Kirk Cousins.
Not Kirk Cousins, but NFL players are getting a raise. MLB's hot stove getting warmer. And is the return of Eric Berry actually on the horizon? We'll discuss in headlines in 2 minutes.
Fesco in the morning.